podcast, and all who listen to it, all who participate in it, are all divinely protected and perfectly safe in all time, in all space, as I am, so will it be.
I'm tumbling into a whole thought form of street performers, and so some dude just had his music blaring in the local supermarket, and thankfully it was music. I was dancing, man. I was into it. But then I was thinking, wouldn't it be fucking cool if there were live DJs at grocery stores? I saw it on, you know, satirized and shit on sitcoms and stuff, but for real. Because I tell you what, you playing the same old fucking dumbass soundtrack or whatever, the managers need to wake up. Everybody's in a mood. Listen, you need your environment to be inviting and fun. And why not at a supermarket? The one I was just in felt more like a prison institution because it's gotten so bad there that they have to put in all these security rules and all this stuff, you know, just because a few hot messes, well, more than a few, a lot of hot messes come in there and ruin it for everybody else, basically. So now the shopping experience is more like you're walking into a war zone and not just like enjoying your experience of spending your money. It makes you feel rushed. So what I would do, I would have DJs. Why the fuck not? Any kind of uplifting performance art while you're checking out your oranges and your grapes. Why not? I love this idea. But when it's on a street corner, I like it. But when you're blaring like religious music to a whole bunch of, and this is a metaphor for the United States, you're blaring your loud mouth about your religion, and somehow yours is the one telling everybody what's what, when all of them kind of do that anyway. But one particular religion in general, some people take it to these extremes where they will blare their music right outside so loud that you can't but hear it. That's fucked, in my opinion. Is it street theater? Street art, yes, and I love that. My reaction to art doesn't always have to be a good one. Am I happy that dude's out there doing that? Fuck yes. Fuck them all. If I wanted to get out there and blare my witch ass music that I write, I'll do it. I ain't scared. I ain't scared to like do that. But I also know the value of allowing other people to have their space and enjoyment of the space around all of us. I'm not trying to control it. I'm not trying to force it. I was not a willing participant when I walk into a store. Fuck yeah. It's on. That's your establishment. But when it's all this public thing, I love street theater in all its forms. I just felt like when it gets to a certain point where religion is all about that, makes me go, no girl, no bitch. Ooh, you got the red ropes tonight. It's especially the
you're like red ropes, look at these.
Watch this magic trick.
My god, there's my keys. I've been looking for those.
You found them?
Yeah, yes.
I still haven't found them.
Oh well. Look deeper, bitch. Look deeper.
That's the roar of that tonight.
We're the old cackling witches out here. That's a door person. at the club above my studio. Couldn't get any better than that. I'm telling you, this day has just been good, balanced with a little bit of psychic bombardment. But what are you gonna do, man? When you know you're dealing with idiots or feeble-minded folk, and feeble meaning not like unable, but feeble as in just like fucking, you're so easy to read, you're like a book, girl. And I have dyslexia, but I can read this book really well. Really well. Oh, shit. Well, I kind of knew that was going to happen. Gosh darn it. It happened.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's not your fault. I just walked out from a studio, and I asked one of the door guys at one of my favorite places, kind of close to where I do my work, and holy shit balls, let me tell you something. I looked at him, and he was just in his little skimpies, and well, I've always had a crush on him. He's fucking gorgeous, and well, you know, he showed me his package earlier, and I was like, not his real dick. He just showed me what he was wearing underneath his shorts and said, I'm probably going to take these off for my shift. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like tipping you right now, and I'm not even in the bar. Just a tip, baby. But all these people were walking by, and they go, girl, why is everybody so extra gay? I guess the event is called Roar, man. And they're getting their magic on with just being gay in a place and taking it over. And it is just so hard to predict what the fuck is going on in this city. Like, groups of people, like, clamor to the same locations. And I'm like, well, if you all just go to the same locations all the time as a group, isn't that just kind of boring? But maybe it's fun. You know, I'm older school. I'm like, let's explore the city. But now there's this whole Discord thing where it's like, one person puts out, hey, I'm going to be at the queer bar tonight at 8 p.m. I got a table. And then, you know, like 100 people show up. And they buy drinks. And that's all well and good and stuff. But sometimes they don't stay. But this gay clog of a line outside of this bar, man, it's hot. They're very attractive people. But the last fucking thing I want to do is wait in line. And or wait in line for a drink, and or just have nowhere to stand or dance, or it's just not me. Maybe I'm getting old, but I don't understand. I don't know. I like to have fun, not just a bunch of nonsense where you're just standing around like a bunch of chicken with your head cut off and your body doesn't know where to go or do, and you're just like, I can't afford to even buy another drink. And I can't even get someone to buy me a drink because I don't even know where the line is to get a drink. I'm not saying that's what's happening in there, but I am saying my friend looks good, girl. I mean, I would just, yes, love magic. I adore that person. And he's just so fucking cute and so nice and sweet to me. And he always has been. And that's the thing about hanging out here in the city over time, you develop these relationships with the people around you, the people in your immediate like area, basically. You know, if you work in the service industry, you'll know what I'm talking about. You kind of know what's around, and you kind of know the people that are around, and you might even go into one of your favorite bars just a couple feet down from your other favorite bar and from your other bar that you actually work at, and you know, get a drink because you don't want to be, you know, drinking at your establishment because, well, it just fucking gets annoying because, you know, you don't need to see people all the time. That's what I'm saying. Damn, everybody is looking good. Fuck, man. I feel like I need to work out. Muscle gays. Muscle daddies. I love it. But most of them are bottoms. Right when I say that, this woman was bending over, grabbing her butthole and her pussy. We got time travelers here. Did you see her grab her ass? Was that for you all? I was like, I'm doing my pod. I'm podcasting, right? And I'm like, and now this chick is grabbing her asshole and pussy right in front of me. Hey.
Street,
well, oh, like, yeah. I've seen a few good asses. Yeah. I gotta be honest. That was pretty hot.
And it was like she knew it too.
So yeah, she like, did. Yeah.
Now I'm gonna bend over in the middle of the
She side did, box. Yeah. She wanted like everybody to know. That's right. That's
crazy.
Right.
I was like, crazy.
I'm not sure if I've ever announced this technically. So here it comes, friends. You're listening to a gay podcast. A gay man is the voice of this podcast. A gay man is the energetic force behind this podcast. And if you listen to it and you're not a fan of the LGBTQ plus AI, all of us, if you're not a big fan of supporting us or fangirling us, to allow us to have a life that, you know, it's really hard to live it. If you're not that fan, please move on. That's all I ask. I don't want to lose listeners, but I just wanted to make sure that we are really clear here. This is a queer gay witch podcast about being a witch in Seattle, Washington. It's not necessarily all about witchcraft. It is an integral part of the inner workings mechanism that is the force of this podcast. But I just need desperately for all of you to understand, I'm a gay person. And if you find entertainment in what I do, then you're supporting our community in one way or another, because you're allowing this into your consciousness. You're allowing this to be a part of your life and you're supporting it. And by doing so, you are supporting the greater community of the LGBTQ plus Wiccan witch community. And it's huge. It is so big. And I'm just one member of a larger nucleus that is just definitely a huge part of the magic that's happening on this planet. So I just wanted to make sure that I finally put a, you know, here's the timestamp, 11:39 p.m. on May 20th, Saturday of 2023, stamp, boom. This is a gay queer witch podcast. If you didn't know that, I'm sorry. If you know that now and you have a problem with it, there's the door, okay? That's where I'm at. I just met these two really attractive men that caught that moment of that woman grabbing her butthole and pussy. And one of them was totally into it, and the other one was too. But I think they were trying to just kind of hang out or something. Maybe they were time travelers. Wouldn't that be funny? Or maybe they just wanted to sit on the bench that I was at. I don't know. I'm not here making the rules. I don't know what this podcast is actually doing in its future because, you know, as far as I can tell, I'm way into the future. I'm just catching up to it, y'all. This is just the beginning. You don't even know what 500. I had so many fucking episodes of my old podcast called Seattle Sauce. I had drag queens. I had in the moment wonderful, amazing, fucking in-the-moment interviews with so many bands and so many performers, and burlesque, cabaret, friends, just all lost forever unless I have this really hope, this big hope in my mind that someone out there just downloaded every single one of them and somehow it's on their computer backed up and we can release it someday, but I don't know if that's the truth. It's optimism. It is. But anyway, I just met these two dudes and I almost said, hey, what are you doing? But then I was like, you're too straight for me. And that's when I was like, oh, I need to make sure that I put a stamp. And look, by saying you're too straight for me doesn't necessarily mean I can't be those dudes' friends. No, it just means that I'm less inclined to invite you into my life immediately to go have some fun and do, you know, whatever the fuck. It's just straight men, no offense if you're a straight man, not all of you are like this, so don't get all hurt by me saying this, but a lot of y'all are really presumptuous to think that just anybody and everybody is going to be your friend just because you're some bubbly straight guy who just wants to get some pussy for the night and you have no agenda but that. Okay, look, I'm not one to judge the pussy grabbing. I'm not one to judge liking the tits because I worship goddesses. I do. I love them. But I'm also not the one to talk to about that kind of stuff immediately in an interaction because I am a queer man. So like I'm like, but I did say, yeah, there are a lot of hot asses around here tonight. I didn't necessarily genderize the ass. An ass, a nice ass is a nice ass. You know it's true. Come on, big butt. Let's get her done. I'm a witch. It is 4:38 p.m. on this beautiful kind of gray day on the 22nd of May. 2023, baby. The magic has been so palpable that I could just barely take a breath and all of a sudden something magical has been happening. This last weekend was just beyond my expectations, and yet totally was side railed by some spooky electronic bullshit that just happened to happen, and that's just the way the cookie crumbled. And we still slayed. Everybody was like, you guys sounded fucking great. So that magic was fun. I my expectations of certain things sometimes are a little bit bigger than maybe what they're going to be. Person almost rammed me the fuck over. Wasn't even looking where they were going. Just going straight, baby. Forward, never straight. So, yeah, I had a lot of good readings about what was going to go down this weekend, but there was also just this little hint of frustration that always seems to play out with all that 12th house I have. And, you know, it's at this age and the constant validation that this is just how it is, I just got to go with it, you know. Today, however, enough about that weekend that is no longer. I am in the moment. I'm treading forward in my life, never back. Maybe looking back a little bit and learning what I need to learn, but I'm moving forward in time and space. I'm headed to do a podcast. A podcast that is not this podcast. Another podcast. It's a dive bar podcast here in Seattle that I reached out to. They had been liking my social media posts for my place of employment. And they said that they wanted to fucking, you know, be a part. And I had this idea. I said, hey, look, I see that you're a dive bar. We're an old dive bar. And I would love for you to come and do it. And better yet, if you scheduled it just right, this could be your pride edition of your dive bar podcast. So there it is, man. It happened. It's manifesting here at 5:30 p.m. And I'm going to be on it, apparently. I have all the things that I need to say about what's coming up with this particular place of employment. And I'm going to, well, basically just give them the lowdown of what June is going to look like. And maybe I'll get a chime in a little bit about how haunted this place is and all that. And you're probably asking, well, where is it, Tony? Say the name. And I told myself early on when I started this podcast that I wasn't going to give information that doesn't need to be heard or known about. You don't need to necessarily know where I work. This is my job for you. You know what I'm saying? I learned early on about, I don't know. Well, I guess it wasn't early on, but many years ago, I was living in this artist community, and it was in this big house, and there was about 30 of us, and I've talked about this on this podcast, but we would have these open houses, right? Everybody and their weird mother knew what room I lived in. knew where I lived. And then I moved from there, and I moved to another location in Seattle. And of course, I had to go live on Facebook a couple years in a row during the snowstorms. And then once again, everybody knew where I lived. So I was like, Damien, when we move into this new place, we're not going to make a big old post about it. We're not going to be sad that we're leaving one location and finding another one that we really love. No, we're not going to do that. Let's just not. And the people that need to know where we live will know. And the people that don't really need to, because not everybody needs to know where the fuck you live, right? Especially if you're a public figure like myself. You know, I'm locally famous in a couple towns, or two or three, actually, four, or I was in a couple of them, but I have history, you know, I people know who I am. So I decided for myself, my sanity and my magic, for that matter, I was like, no, not everybody needs to know where the fuck I live. I don't know where most of my friends live, right? I don't know where you live. Why in the fuck should everybody know where the fuck I live? You know, that's easy target situation for any kind of energy, you know. I had one dude just show up at my house after a private party. Said he saw it on my Instagram story. I was like, no, we're done with this. I think I've talked about that before. But regardless, back to the magic. So the magic was, I reached out to these podcasters. I told them the situation. And they said, oh yeah, you're on our list. And I'm like, well, bump us up. Next thing I know, you know, the owner of this particular establishment's reaching out to them too. And then come to find out, some young person at the UW is doing a paper on this particular location and its history of ownership and just its history in general, the building itself. And, well, fucking A, that person's going to be on it too. So it was this kind of strange knitting is the word I've been using lately. And I've been seeing people crochet around me a lot. And when that happens, that always is kind of like this thing the universe is telling me. You're knitting these things together. You are the person that knits these things together, Tony James. You are a producer of ideas. Maybe 75% of a shit manifests as far as my ideas and the things I want to do. And then the other 25% isn't bad ideas, they just don't manifest, right? So don't beat yourself up when you're really, really trying super hard to manifest something. Sometimes the easiest way to manifest it, and I said it here before, but not exactly in this way. Sometimes the best thing you could do is really just forget about it. Just like when I met my man, I finally said, you know what? All I've been doing my whole life is looking for love in all the fucking wrong places. Looking for love in places, too many faces. What is that song? I just did, you know? I didn't know exactly how I was gonna find this love of my life. And when I thought maybe possibly I had found that person, come to realize that that wasn't even that person's reality for us. This happened to me two or three times in relationships. I finally just said, fuck it, I'm done. And 2 weeks later, something like that, there he was. So I guess my point is, we are trying constantly as witchy people to make change in areas of our life that we see that it needs to make fucking change. It needs to change. But it's really hard to do so, especially when the disappointment of it not manifesting how you want happens. Or better yet, it manifests but not how you wanted it to manifest. That happens more often than not. Why? Because we were not as specific as we really should have been. And I just want you to know, the more specific you can be, the more you could just really, really almost feel it and be there. That's when it'll catch up to you. That's when you'll catch up to it. That's when it will most in fact manifest, right? So some of the flowers that I've been talking about on here, especially outside of my place where I live that the whole world doesn't need to know where I live, as I discussed momentarily ago. All these flowers that have been blooming are starting to die. And that tells me that summer is just around the corner. And, well, it's a perfect day for me to realize that, because it's just saying the breeze is out, the clouds are back. We're sitting in the 70s again, not in the 80s and 90s. Dear God, it just melts this poor old city when it's that hot. People around here just can't fucking handle that kind of heat. It's just, we're not around that all year around. And then all of a sudden, poof, there it is. Oops, there it is. The magic that I'm focusing on now, today I got in the mail, or excuse me, Amazon delivered it to me. I use it a lot. I admit it. I don't care. After the pandemic and shit, I'm like, no, I'm, you know what? I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Everything's a corporation anyway. So, you know, eat my ass. I don't care what your opinion is. It doesn't make me a bad person for using that company. As a matter of fact, if anything, they're trying a little harder these days to maybe, you know, like fucking do better things with their money for the planet, and let's see if that actually happens or not. Anyway, I get a delivery today, and it's these LED drumsticks, these plastic drumsticks that you could plug in and to kind of brighten up and change the look that I'm going for my solo performance. I got these fucking things, and it's not exactly what I thought it would be, because I'm like, well, unless it's kind of dark on stage, it's not really gonna fucking matter. So part of me is like, do I fucking use these or do I send them back? Was this a waste of money? Probably. But I'm gonna go for it, and hopefully it will, because I've been looking at these for a while, and it's just going to happen. I also got yesterday for myself a small little mixer, 5-channel mixer, right? And I fucking needed this mixer because I want to be in charge of what's happening. I've talked about it, and the more I think about it, the more I know that this was the right choice for me. There's no effects or anything on it. That doesn't matter. I can run the effects into it. I just needed something where I can adjust the volume immediately in the moment on stage without having to hail the sound person who might be just looking at their phone, because our particular audio setup is fucking easy. And they could just dial it in within a second like a karaoke host has to. It's just, I want more power because we don't get paid enough for these shows. So I need it to be as excellent and polished as it is when we do rehearsal. You know, I want it that good. And every venue is different. Every venue I walk into, you have different personalities. You have different equipment. You have different sound. You have a different, the space itself, you hear differently in different spaces. And well, I just want to hear more. I want to be in control of it a little bit more. And eventually I'm even going to try to figure out how to have a monitor right there, a tiny one. And I think I know how I'm going to do this. I just have to do the research a little bit, because I have a tiny little speaker that would be perfect for this. But the more I add to this, the more I have to carry around. So I'm going to just try to make it where it's like costume or whatever I'm going to be wearing, that's in my backpack, and maybe a couple other little things, and then a nice little package or a carrying situation, probably another backpack, but on rollers. Because that's the thing, when you want to get out of a gig or just get, and you get into an Uber and maybe you're like, you know, 40 miles away from your home, you want to have this shit dialed in, compact and ready to go. And I learned that from my bandmates back in the day, especially my buddy who plays guitar. He had all of his pedals, all that shit, just all perfectly dialed in. And now here I am about ready to be on a podcast. I'm just kind of looking forward just to all of it. And I'm also about ready to release some information. And it's a good day. And I just wanted to hit play record, and just fill you in on my fabulous state of magic right now in my life. I'm very happy, and I hope this day continues to get better. So mote it be. I'm a witch. It's 1:23 p.m. on the 23rd of May, 2023. All these threes and twos. What's up with that, yo? Oh my goodness, it is just perfect out here once again. And here I am just trying to get from point A to point B and back to point C and then back point A today. I wanted to talk about on this particular segment about needy people. Oh dear God. If you're a needy person, you might want to turn this off because I'm coming for you a little bit. Or actually, I'm just going to explain why I'm not one that really is interested in needy people. Now, what do I mean by needy people? I am in a situation right now that I got a vague book about because I'm not quite sure how to approach this particular situation on this podcast without coming off like a fucking douchebag. So I'm gonna, because I'm not. So I've been doing professional live theater, dance, music my whole life since I was 16. I've talked about it on here. Ended up in the choir and the theater, and my whole life changed. I saw a show called Anything Goes, and well, it just changed my life, right? So here's the deal. Oh, there's a kitten. Hi, kitty. Hi, kitten. Oh, pretty window cat. Oh, they're just everywhere around here. There's a little breeze, so hopefully this isn't going to fuck up the recording too much. I don't have time for people that are needy. Now, if it's someone in my immediate circle of friends and is really, really needing something from me or just needs to talk or whatever the case may be, of course I'm going to step up, I'm going to listen, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help that person out. But if we're just kind of acquaintances and you dump a bunch of like questions on me about how I would react or just fishing for any kind of attention, you're not my cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it comes off as to me. What I want out of acquaintances is just that, like, hey, good vibes, all that good energy. But when it comes down to people really emotionally needing things from me when we're not even that close, I immediately get turned off. It's got to be, my guess is all the Gemini in my chart. It's just like, I want to be there for you, but I'm already so stretched thin with my emotional bandwidth that it's hard for me to also integrate a bunch of other people's neediness into just my overall experience of life. It's just too much. Now, I want to explain more of what I'm talking about right now, but it's really hard because I'm trying to skate around certain things that could, if someone listened to this, might think it's about them, and I just don't want them to think that is the case. This is a general statement. So I lived 9 years of my adult life in a artist collective. Now, I use that word very lightly at this point, looking back on it, because there were working artists and then there were several hot messes that just said they were artists and that's how they got into the house. And or the person that was running it was really into pussy and just wanted to hook up with these younger women. And well, he's where he's supposed to be, and I'm not going to talk anymore about that, but that person is where he needs to be. Let's just put it that way. But 9 years of my life, 30 people all living in the same house. 30. It was a halfway house at one point. It was kind of had older people kind of integrated into it. So it was kind of like an old folks home. It was a German old folks home before that. The building is still there. It got gentrified. We all got kicked out, basically. Some of us waited around for that good money to move, and other people just said, no, I'm fucking out. But during that time, my sensibilities of people that living in close quarters like that with me, immediately, if someone was just my best friend right from the get-go, I'm like instantly turned off by them. I instantly have my shields up because I'm like, this is my home. This isn't like, you know, you have to earn this friendship. You got to earn this relationship where we're going to be working and living together. You got to earn that. I don't know who you are. And all of a sudden you're just really just trying to latch on to me because you think I have some sort of power, which I did in the house, but not in a way where I could make any major decisions on my own. It was always a democracy with that situation. But there were certain hot messes every time. And I could almost clock it. The second they moved in, I could almost say, oh, here's the next one to burn out real quick. Here's the next person to be exploited by this person and this person and this person. This is it. So eventually I got to a point where I was like, I'm not even going to fucking deal with these people anymore. I'm not even going to, what is the word? Fucking even, I'll acknowledge them. But the second they make one or two little mistakes and they were on my radar, I immediately was like, okay, this is how it's going to play out. I'm going to have these motherfuckers in my life for probably a couple more months, and then they're going to move. And it almost every fucking time happened. Almost every fucking time, it was exactly the same way. So I built up this kind of like aura, like a cheese grater. You know what I mean? Like just, you don't come too close. Kind of like the thorns I was talking about. The thorn fucking protection. Well, also like a cheese grater. Like all different kind of sides to that cheese grater, man. You come for me, I'm gonna scrape it off. You know, it takes time. It's gonna take time to really become an old friend of mine because I'm just not trusting anymore. I can't be, and neither can you. As a witch, you have got to guard your energies, and those around you are a huge part of what you're putting out into the universe. Their energy is also a part of the spell work that you're doing. Their energy, regardless if they're even in the room, just the interaction, the daily interaction, or even weekly, whatever the case may be, you let them into your energy, then all of a sudden, they're a part of it, right? So I'm not a big fan of just becoming friends right off the bat. And I have one friend that does that a lot. He'll meet some girl and then all of a sudden they're like girlfriends, you know, for the night or for like a week or so. And then that person realizes, this person's a fucking hot mess. I got to get away from this person. See, I don't do that anymore. I don't do the, hey, you're my best friend right off the bat. And the reason being is because I am so sensitive, and also I'm a fucking witch, man. I don't have time to fuck around with other people's hot mess fucking shit. It's just not a part of my personality any longer to allow this kind of stuff to happen. So even today, I feel myself having to go back to months ago. Remember months ago how I said, well, I'm just fucking going to have to change my reaction to this person because if I don't, it's going to blow up. And I tried my best. And well, today, here I am having to go through this same kind of energy again, having to alter myself, knowing the situation that I could be walking into, knowing how it kind of stresses me out and kind of drains me. And if you are around people like that, that drains you and stresses you out, get out, get out. The call's coming from inside the house. You know what I'm saying? My goodness gracious me. So needy people can be draining. And if you're willing to be friends or even family members that drain your ass and just are constantly trying to communicate some sort of like need out of you that really isn't have anything to do with really what's going on in your life or even their life, like just needless drama, like anybody that just creates drama for drama's sake to feel like they're alive. You know, that's what I think some of these people do. Like people that always have to be on the phone. If you're one of those people, I ask you, why? Does it make you feel important when you're talking on the phone? Because I got to a point where I had to put up boundaries and say, hey, you guys, literally, I hate talking on the phone. I've explained to you exactly why. It's triggering. It's traumatizing when that phone fucking rings. I ask myself, what in the fuck is going on? Why is this person calling me? I immediately get stressed out. I worry something's wrong. My mother, my own mother, love you, Mom, if you're listening to this. Sometimes when she just calls out of nowhere, I think, oh my God, who's dead? Isn't that awful? Like, but that's the thing. So for me, I need a little text message. Hey, I'm going to give you a call. Something important's coming up. Or I also don't like people that use the, hey, we need to talk. I fucking hate that. I fucking hate it so fucking much because it's like you're setting me up for some sort of fucking weird interaction that I am not prepared for. And I realize that that's kind of the whole setup of the we need to talk kind of thing, but it pisses me off. And anybody in my immediate circle, I've said to them several times, I go, look, if we have an issue with each other, we're gonna fucking deal with it in the moment. If we have an issue with each other, and or have an argument or something, we deal with it now, not yesterday, not the next day. We're dealing with it right fucking now. And if we do it right fucking now, then everything's going to feel a little bit better. And we're not going to be carrying around a bunch of fucking energy all day or all week or all month or the rest of our lives. I just don't have time for that because you cannot work magic in any kind of way, really, if you're in this fucked up state, this constant state of frustration and being manipulated and people really fucking needing your energies when you just don't want to fucking give your energy to these motherfuckers. It's just so hard. So what I've come up with is using the words correctly. Things like, in all honesty, I cannot do this right now. Or to be completely transparent, I can't give you what you need right now. I am not in a place to do that for you. And I'm sorry. I really am, but I cannot be this person for you. Hi, baby. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do when I'm that frustrated. So I just have to be honest. And I guess that's what I'd say about the honesty level about basically just dealing with needy people. You have to be honest with those type of people because it might take a while for them to really get it. But the more honest and just in their face about it, you can be, the better. That's it. That's the segment. Same day, just a few hours later, it's 8:19 p.m. on the 23rd of 2023, May 2023. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever had a shift at your job? And I know you all will be like, yes, I have. Where it's like, time is moving at such a slow rate. Because, I mean, I was busy, don't get me wrong. I was totally staying busy and getting the shit done. But my point is, it's like, son of a motherfucking bitch. It is 2 hours before I get out of here and I'm just like feeling like I'm stuck in some sort of mire, some sort of like fucking mud, and I'm working my way through the mud, you know? I shook it off, but right at the end of my shift, I got really, really sad. Like this overwhelming sense of sadness came over me. And in the past, when that has happened, unfortunately, I get that phone call or that message on Facebook telling me someone has passed away. And so I immediately called my mother, and where the magic fits into this, where the witchcraft fits into this, is your intuition, once it's honed, once you've really, really tapped into it, and you and your intuition are working for each other, with each other, then you need to go with your gut. And if your gut is telling you, call your fucking mom. Call your mom, you know? And I did, and everybody's fine and everything, and found out one of my uncles just got out of the hospital. But this feeling was more just like immediate, and I'm like, son of a bitch, this is kind of frightening how I'm feeling. So anyway, I guess my point is here is if you are an intuitive, if you are a person that is in the moment with your intuition as I am, always, always do not delay. Make that moment, step out of wherever you're at, make that phone call, and just check in. There's nothing wrong with that. And maybe it's just because I'm hungry and the day was weird already. I mean, there are a lot of factors that I could factor into this sense of just sadness that just literally overcame me. And granted, someone was singing a song from The Greatest Showman about "This Is Me" or something. "This is me," kind of thing. And that's not a sad song, so I didn't know if that's how I was just feeling emotion from that. But this is I'm a Witch, and I am, whether you believe it or not. And I am deciding right now to just be here tonight and be in the moment. And maybe I'll tell you what happens with this feeling later. But until then, I'm going to find myself some alcohol, some food, and I'm going to make some music. So be it. A little thing that I do here in the streets of Seattle, since we have so many trees, just kind of like every few feet, every half a block or so, is I'll touch one of them, right? And then I'll look forward where I'm walking, and I'll try to feel the next tree before I even get to it. And if you don't know what I mean by that, it's too hard to explain, but it has to do with the roots of all these trees. They are all connected. So if you can connect with one, you can connect with all of them, basically. And I can feel their energy. So what I do is I just kind of walk past one, and I project myself into the soil, and then I try to feel the one just a few feet away from the other one. And it's gotten to a point where I don't even have to fucking do it anymore. It just happens. Like, I'm aware of it energetically. So this has a lot. This can help you when you have land with lots of trees or plants. You can let them know, program them to alert you to certain things. And I have asked the trees here on Capitol Hill many times, hey, warn me, go down a different street, or let me know, take a moment, you know, be my guide, I'll be your guide, I will worship you if you worship me, kind of thing. And the communication is energetic. Rarely has it been like thought forms in my brain as far as what they might be telling me. It's more energy based communication. And it's just something I kind of wanted to pass on, because that kind of consciousness, you have to develop it. 3:47 p.m. on the 24th of May, 2023. I am so sad the great Tina Turner has left her body. And I did have a interesting conversation with her. I am a medium at times, practicing medium, well, kind of forced on me. I have always been sensitive. The dead have always come to me. Their spirits, and well, Tina Turner came to me today, and it was a real thing, and how it was validated basically was she told me, you know, I'm with my son now. And then I look up, I'm like, did Tina Turner have a son? Well, come to fucking find out, her son committed suicide, and that was a huge stain on her existence, and she's with him now. And that was the validation I needed, because I did not know she had a son that had killed himself. Maybe somewhere in the back of my consciousness after watching one of her documentaries or something, it was there. But I felt, I'm very confident she visited me. And, you know, she was a huge part of my childhood, you know? Like, not only being a woman of success in the music industry, but I loved the movie Mad Max. And then when Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome came out, who is this gorgeous goddess in this movie? This Tina Turner woman, who is this private dancer? She really did mean a lot to me, or she does mean a lot to me. And I just want to send to anybody listening to this at this time, because this will be long past her passing when you hear this, but just know that icons like that, you know, they're here for a reason. There's a bunch of us that watch and stand and see and follow, and then there's a bunch of us that, you know, are leaders and are pathway creators. And she is one of the greatest performers of not only her time, but of all time, in my opinion. She had the fortitude, she had the power, she had the, oh God, the insight in how to navigate a career that possibly could have just, you know, she just would have been known for all of the stuff that she did in her early years. When, I think it was her late 40s or something like that, I was listening to NPR today and they were telling me she was well into her 40s or something when she started getting famous again in the 80s. So, like, pathway maker, creator. She, not only for women, but for black women. Like, she's a huge, also for domestic abuse situations. She shed light on all these things. And she did it first, you know. She was out there. She was, you know, ahead of all of us, just carving this pathway for all of us to be okay about speaking about these awful things known as domestic abuse and harm. It's just fucking sad, you know. In the end, she helped millions of people deal with a thing. Enough about that, because it's really sad. But it is a nice segue into, are you someone that speaks to the dead, or do you just believe that they are gone and they've moved on, or they're just no longer a thing? And in the answer from me to you is that no, spirit is real. You right now listening to this, it's your spirit listening through body to this. Your spirit, your consciousness, everything that makes you you is that spirit. And thankfully, we have an opportunity. Oh my gosh, are these all your jars?
Yeah, they're free and they're
really awesome. Thank you. Oop, I just got interrupted and had to hit pause because some person's moving out of their home and there were a bunch of jars. I love mason jars. I love jars. I love people that strip labels off of jars and saves them. It's not only a great way for recycling, but you can keep things in it and you can use it for your teas and things like that. Just what I need, more fucking jars. But back to Spirit, man. I've told this story. I don't know if I've told it on here, but I'm sure I have. But when my grandfather, my father's father, passed away, he came to me. He woke me up. There's no doubt in my mind. And every person that has passed in my family has come to me. And I was aware of their presence. I could feel them. I knew it was them. And this is kind of hard for some people that don't have this kind of consciousness, that don't have this kind of communication and this kind of awareness of spirit. It's hard for people to comprehend how it actually goes down. And quite honestly, it's just as simple as someone being in the room with you. It is that real. And, you know, whether you believe it or not, that means nothing to me. I'm telling you, this is my existence. This is my experience of being a human. And thankfully, I have this gift so I can, you know, communicate with those that are no longer in their body. And sometimes, like with my grandmother, I just could not clock her. And I kept on telling my mom that. I'm like, everybody's come to me. And my mom's pretty open, I think, for the most part, that I definitely have gifts that she can't deny at this point in her life. And it's just, why would she? I know she is a very sensitive human as well. And I think it just kind of runs in both my father and my mother's blood. And I know I see it in my brother, I see it in my sisters, but mostly I just know of my experience of all this, and it's very real. And would I ever just move forward on a path of making this kind of a thing where I talk to the dead for other people? I doubt it, because it's just, there's always, I don't like the doubt that other people put on witchcraft. I don't like the doubt that other people put on. It's just, it's so funny to me that some people don't believe in witchcraft and yet they believe in Christianity or any other religion. I'm like, how come you guys think that this is any different from what you're doing, where you don't have this thing right here, but you feel it, right? You feel your deity, you feel it, right? And it's the same exact experience for me when I'm communicating with goddesses and gods and spirits and people that have passed and nature spirits and all the things. I'm just telling you that it's a very real thing that we could all tap into. And if you need to do that, please do. Learn it. Don't be scared of it. For God's sakes, life is too fucking short to deny yourself what could be your path. What could be your path to feeling a little bit more secure that there's something after this. I've known some witches that are agnostic, or what's the other one, where they don't believe there's anything. They just believe we go back into the earth and that's that. And, you know, partially that is true. Our carcass will dissolve into the earth, back into what it was made of. But that spark, that you, that only is you, and this goes for everything on this planet. Everything has a spirit. It is a spirit. She is a spirit. We're a part of her huge, massive spirit. We're all a part of it. We're little cells, a part of what makes up the spirit of this most holy planet, this most radiant mother. You know, all I want out of this life is to be able to be remembered in a way that is positive and loving, that what I did on this earth was the best I could do with what I was given and what I transformed in my life. That's how I want to be remembered, in the good, not any of the bad. And there's some shitty things that maybe I could, you know, feel like there are people that, you know, not necessarily, they're not just huge fans of me, and that's okay. And I know a lot of that stems from just this openness about being exactly who I am, and not shying, not hiding myself from their bullshit, their their denial of, or disbelief. There's the word I was looking for. Their disbelief is not my problem. Their eye rolls are not my problem. If I say I'm a witch and I identify that way, then that's that. And that's just like how I do with other people who tell me that they are. And I'm like, oh, good, blessed be. Hey, that's wonderful. You know, but there's all these things keeping us from just understanding spirit, our spirit. There's all these things that are distracting you from becoming the, you know, medium, the spirit talker that you could be. Your own disbelief, the idea that there's nothing after life, you know, and that's what's so hard for me. Some of the most open-minded people I know are some of the most closed-minded people when it comes to anything spiritual.